Good morning. How are you today? I'm Gary Zimek, and it is so great to be back live on the air on Holy Spirit Radio. I've really missed you guys. This is the first vacation we've took since we started on the air, but we're back today. Today is Tuesday, September the 5th, and we are ready to get started. Let's kick things off as we do each and every day on Spirit in the Morning in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this new day. We're so grateful that you have created us and that you have brought us to this new day. Father, we ask you to give us the grace we need to face any challenge that comes our way today. Father, we lift up all of our listeners. We lift up all of our families. We lift up our coworkers, our fellow students, anyone that we encounter in the world today. We lift them up and we ask you to bless them. We ask you, Father, to use us to be lights shining in the darkness today. And I also ask you to speak through us on the program today so that your word can go forth from our lips. And of course, we ask you to open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy, in the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, you know what? I am ready to go. My batteries are recharged. I'm a little excited. I don't know if I'm going to levitate. That's how excited I am. One of the reasons I'm excited is, I'm really pouring it on pretty deep today. One of the reasons I'm so excited is because I am reunited with the one, the only, Dave Parker. Brother.
Hey, Gary. Good morning. Are you levitating, brother?
I am, Dave. You know, that's what happens when I'm back in your presence, my
friend.
Man,
hey, come on. That is, it's getting deep.
That's
in
a
here.
Little deep, right?
Let me get the hip boots on, all right? Now, Gary, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. You know, it was great to take the vacation. It was nice to recharge the batteries, but I really miss coming into the studio, hanging out with you guys. How was your week off?
Oh, it was great. Restful, and got some stuff done, and didn't get some stuff done because I was trying to relax and not have to do everything. And then at the end of going into the weekend, attended a wedding down in Taneytown, Maryland at Antrim 1844. It's a very historical, beautiful place. So it was wonderful. And so got back yesterday. How about
great,
you?
Great. I just chilled with the family, got lots of things done. We got to relax. The girls started college last week, so we're a little ahead of the game. Typically, I always think of starting school after Labor Day, but they started their mm-hmm. first year of college, different colleges, mm-hmm. Last week. So it was good that I was here. So we're veterans. We're college veterans at the Zimek household now.
All right, yeah. And so it's a big step, you know?
It is.
Dropping
it is.
One's children off, or child or children off at college. And now, with you guys, two colleges. That must have been kind of a logistical, I don't say nightmare, but I'm sure you had to really time it well.
It's a challenge, but we're getting it done. My wife, Eileen, is getting to be a really good driver. So she's driving all over the place, which is good. Hey, Dave, you know, the other reason that I was a little sad being on vacation mm-hmm. is because I wasn't with Frank Eliason. Frank, I don't want to leave you out, my man. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
You're
really excited, you know?
I am.
You're jumping.
I am. I'm telling you, this really helped me to take some time off. Frank, you know, as the director of operations, you fought with me for a long time to take some time off. But I got to the point where I came to you and I said, hey, Frank, I need a break. Because, you know, no matter what you're doing, even if you love it, the drive, the constant, you know, making sure we get the guests, we all need a break. Jesus rested, right?
Exactly. It's really important for people to do that. And we're coming off Labor Day.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
It's something everybody should remember. You know, we live in a culture that seems to reward constant work, constant this. But you know what? It's about faith. It's about family. You need to rejuvenate yourself. And that's what vacations bring.
Very well said. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But you're right. In this culture, we're told that in order to be successful and to be productive and to be the person you can be, you've got to work all the time. Well, you've got to work, but there is a time for rest. So I'm glad we're able to do that. Frank, thanks for keeping the programs going, for putting on some best of shows while we were gone.
Phenomenal.
It's good. You know, it's good to hear some of those again.
And it's really funny, for the first time I actually didn't even listen.
You really were resting.
I was sleeping in.
As you should have been, all right.
Then I'd realize, nice. 8 o'clock would hit, and I'd realize, wait a second, I missed the show.
Yeah, I got a funny story I'm going to share with you guys. I want to wait till tomorrow to share it. It has to do with sleeping in, it has to do with the show, and it has to do with a dream about all three of us. But I don't want to do it today. I want to tell you tomorrow. So we'll get into that. And yes, I was dreaming about you, Frank, and you, Dave. That's okay. Kind of scary, but
I
will
think
talk
it's
about
time
that.
For you to get a life.
Maybe that's why you needed the break. You know?
Hey, why should I start now? Guys, right. Coming up on the show today, we've got our friend Dr. Alan Schreck, who's going to be joining us from Steubenville University. Dr. Schreck is going to continue his series on the Holy Spirit. Now, I mentioned before we went on vacation, Dr. Schreck and Dr. John Bergsma, both theology teachers at Steubenville, have agreed to alternate on Tuesdays, which is a really cool thing. Dr. Schreck is going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit, really help us to understand the Holy Spirit and his role in our lives. And Dr. Bergsma will continue his walk through the Bible and really help us to understand the Bible in a very basic sense. So it's really great that the two of those guys are willing to be on the show. So they're going to be alternating in this segment on Tuesday. Also on the program today, our friend Brian Mercier will be here to continue his discussion of his book, Why Do You Believe in God? So we've got a great show lined up on the program today. We're going to take a look now, if we could, at the gospel from today's Mass. Now, before we went on vacation, we were going through the Gospel of Matthew. It's since shifted, and now the church has us in the Gospel of Luke. So we're Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 37. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town of Galilee. He taught them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue, there was a man with the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet. Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down in front of them and came out of him without doing him any harm. They were all amazed and said to one another, "What is there about his word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out," and news of him spread everywhere in the surrounding region. You know, Dave and Frank, when we look at this gospel story, we're reminded that Jesus really does have power. And that's one of the things that I always try to drive home on this program. He's powerful, he's real, and if we turn to him and ask him to come into our lives, because he's not going to push his way into our lives, if we ask him to come into our lives and help us to get to know him, he's going to answer. But I think too many times we dismiss his words, and we think, well, yeah, Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. I know the church says he's real, but you know what? I've got real problems to face. And I think the problem sometimes is we go out into the world, and we try to take on the world and the world's problems, and we don't turn to the Lord. But he's real, and he's powerful.
Well, it really fits into Pope Francis had a ton of tweets over the past week that are really, really good. But Saturday, he tweeted out, "Jesus is always there with an open heart. He throws open the mercy that he has in his heart. He forgives, embraces, and understands."
Wow. And Gary, go ahead.
Yes, Dave, go ahead.
I was just going to say the power aspect. It's almost incomprehensible how much power he has. I mean, we think of power, you know, electricity, maybe nuclear power. That really pales in comparison to his power. He created the universe. So, I mean, that's hard to get your mind around. So
it really is, but I think it's something that we need to mention
quite
often. Because it's so basic, but yet it's so much needed, because if we start to realize that, if we start to realize his power, then we're a little less anxious when we go out to face our problems. We're a little less anxious when we turn on the news and see what's going on in the world. Right, and here's the other thing. I'll probably mention this with Brian Mercier when he comes on, because he does a lot of work with atheists, with people who say, "I don't believe in God," or, you know, "Why does God allow bad things to happen?" That age-old question why does God allow bad things to happen? If there really is a God, why does he allow evil to exist? Well, we see here in this gospel that God has power. Jesus, who is God, has power over evil. He cast out that demon. But because of free will and because of him not wanting to control us and turn us into just mindless puppets, he allows evil to exist. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have power over evil.
Absolutely.
He has power over everything, and we have to invite him in to be a part of it. And, you know, the challenge is sometimes we don't. I mean, you know, for whatever reason, we want to deal with it ourselves. You know, but you've said it numerous times on this show, have a conversation.
Yeah.
Talk to him.
Yeah.
Get to know him. Get to know him personally. And I think we avoid that.
We do. We do because, you know, still there's that stigma that talking to Jesus or having him as a friend is weird. Well, as Father Jim Sitchko said when we had him on the show in a couple of weeks, you can't be Catholic and not be weird. I mean, that was kind of a funny statement, but it's countercultural. Mm-hmm. Christianity is countercultural. Mm-hmm. The world is going to tell us he is, you know, it's impossible to have this relationship with Christ. He's powerless over the things of the world. And here's the last point I want to make about this, guys. What's amazing is that the Lord uses us to do his work. So it's up to people like you, me, and everyone listening out there to go out and spread the good news by being kind to one another and by changing the world one person at a time. I wouldn't have chosen me, but Jesus is trusting me to go out there and not be a jerk. How's that?
No comment.
Hey, I'm not. Hey, listen, Frank. I'm not saying you're doing a good job.
That's a good one, Gary. Thanks for the setup, man.
I was always told if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it.
Yeah, me too.
Man. All right, can I have my silver platter back now? Right, I really set you guys up with that one.
Boy, that was a softball.
Yeah, it really was. I try to do that every now and then.
We'll ponder this on the break, okay?
You do that. When we come back, Dr. Alan Schreck will join us. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Don't go anywhere.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 5th. Today we celebrate St. Teresa of Calcutta. Mother Teresa was born in Macedonia in 1910 and spent a brief time in Ireland when she entered the Sisters of Loreto Convent in Dublin. Assigned to teach at the Loreto School in Calcutta, she could not escape the poverty and suffering of the multitudes all around them. Receiving permission to leave her community, Sister Teresa lived among the poor in Calcutta's slums, opening a school for poor children. She dressed in a white sari and sandals, the ordinary dress of an Indian woman. The volunteers who joined her in the work became the core of the Missionaries of Charity, the religious order she founded in 1950. As support for their work grew, services expanded to include orphans, abandoned children, alcoholics, the aged, and street people. For the next four decades, Mother Teresa worked tirelessly on behalf of the poor. In 1979, she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for her efforts. In later years, her health declined, and in 1997, she died. At her beatification, Pope John Paul II called Mother Teresa's life a bold proclamation of the gospel. Pope Francis canonized Mother Teresa in 2016. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
A
calling out. They want the beat to drop, but what we really need is you. If you wanna steal my show, I'll sit back and watch you go.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Toby Mac, Steal My Show. That's the attitude I have every time I come on the air. Lord, if you want to steal my show, go ahead and take it away. It's all yours. Well, now we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We are blessed to be joined by Dr. Alan Schreck, who is a professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. He specializes in Catholic doctrine, and he's written a number of books, including Your Life in the Holy Spirit, What Every Catholic Needs to Know and Experience. Dr. Schreck has agreed to join us every other week. He's going to be alternating with Dr. John Bergsma, also from Steubenville. Dr. Schreck is going to talk with us about the Holy Spirit so we can understand the Holy Spirit better than we do now. Dr. Schreck, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Thank you so much for joining us again. I really appreciate these segments.
Well, I'm glad to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. So let's rehash a little bit about what we talked about last time. We talked about the Holy Spirit. Just very briefly, we introduced the Holy Spirit because for many years, I just didn't understand the role of the Holy Spirit. I think oftentimes many Catholics are confused about the role of the Holy Spirit. Just to make sure we're on the same page and we understand, Dr. Schreck, who is the Holy Spirit?
Well, you know, in the Old Testament, we have many images of the Holy Spirit, fire, wind,
right.
Water. Well, even the name Spirit means sort of breath or wind. The Holy Spirit comes through anointing with oil. But the climax of our understanding of the Holy Spirit comes in the New Testament when, I'd like to focus on Jesus twice, at the end of Luke's Gospel, 24:49, and at the beginning of Acts, right before he ascends to the Father, he says, I'm going to send you the promise of the Father. And this is sort of a new phrase that Jesus uses, the promise of the Father. And what he's referring to, he says, where did the Father promise the Spirit? Well, in the book of Joel, he, and Peter quotes this from Joel in his first homily at Pentecost. He says that in the latter days, God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And Jesus seems to be really excited about this. He actually says in John's Gospel, he says, it's good that I go away, because unless I go, you're sad because I'm leaving you, but unless I go, I can't send you the Spirit. And he uses a word that really gets to the heart of the question, who is the Holy Spirit? He calls the Holy Spirit, he gives him some title, Spirit of Truth, but one is this word in Greek, it's parakletos, it's paraclete. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? It translates as an advocate or a counselor or even a consoler. And he calls the Spirit another. I'm going to send you another advocate. He's the first advocate with the Father. But Jesus knows he's going away. So he says, I'm going to send you someone like me to be with you, to lead you into all truth, to be with you and to guide you, to strengthen you. So the Holy Spirit is the person of God. And, of course, it took a few centuries for that to be clearly defined by the church. But yeah. Jesus says, you know, when I'm going away, I'm sending the Spirit, and he will sort of pick up where I left off. He's going to be your strength and your guide, and he's going to lead you into communion with the Father. So it's very exciting that Jesus is saying, this is what I'm promising you. This is the promise of the Father. So the Holy Spirit is God who is with us. Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God with us. Now that he's ascended to the Father, the Holy Spirit is with us to guide us, to strengthen us, doing all sorts of things in our lives.
And I was always very perplexed by the words of Jesus. And I think I can imagine if I was one of his disciples at the time, and he said, I'm going away, but it's actually better that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send you the Spirit. I would fight him, I think, on that and say, well, no, please, no. Right? Because I think that we have that tendency to picture Jesus in the flesh. We picture him in his human form. And now he's sending me a Spirit. That Spirit's a person. But I think as a human being, I have trouble relating to a Spirit as a person. Do you think that's a common problem for many Catholics who don't have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit, that they just can't grasp talking to a Spirit?
Right, absolutely. You know, as I said, those Old Testament images are all impersonal, yeah. Wind, fire, breath,
right.
And a dove, probably the most common, because the Spirit did descend on Jesus at his baptism yeah. in the form of a dove. But yeah, we don't talk to doves. We, you know,
right.
But we have to remember these are biblical images, but Jesus really makes it clear that the Holy Spirit is a person. And in fact, the word paraclete means one who is at one side. And one of the fathers of the church that really helped me, St. Cyril of Jerusalem, said that mm-hmm. That the Holy Spirit is like one who is an intimate friend and guest of our souls. That if we don't try to put a face on the Holy Spirit, but just realize that he is a person who is with us, whom, you know, who is a God, who is even more of a person in the sense that we are, because he's a perfect person, a person of God. We just right. have to get over that hump of saying, I'm not talking to something, I'm talking to someone who I can't see, but this is yeah. not, this is someone who is really given to me to be with me, to guide me. And once one starts relating to the Spirit that way, seems a little strange, but you realize mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit is with us. We can speak to him, and he really is a person who is guiding and blessing and strengthening us every day of our lives.
And one of the things I found in my life, and the Holy Spirit, I do now speak to the Holy Spirit every day. I just, as you said, I just started doing it, and now I recognize, yeah, he's real. He lives within me. He's a person. Is that the advice you would have for somebody who's listening and saying, I just don't know. I still can't picture speaking to a Spirit. Would your advice be just do it?
Yeah, you know, the one prayer of the church that is always some form of come Holy Spirit. So right. we're always inviting the Holy Spirit to come to us. So if we've invited him to come, it would be sort of strange to say, well, I want you to come into my life, into my heart, and then, well, I'll sort of ignore you now. But, you know, realizing yeah. that the Holy Spirit is one who does answer that prayer. And Jesus said, I want you to pray that the Holy Spirit would come. In fact, that's what Pentecost was all about. He says, wait in the city until I send the Spirit, yeah. until you're clothed with power from on high. Because we need the Spirit strengthen us and to guide us. So, yeah, just do it. Just like Nike, just do it.
Yeah. And I found it to be, as somebody who has been on both sides of this, to not knowing the Holy Spirit to really getting to know him on a personal level, I found that has worked for me. So if you're listening at home or wherever you are, I would encourage you to just say, come Holy Spirit today. Dr. Shirk, we have about 2 minutes left. The final point I want to make with you is, and I guess this is, again, an example of our human nature and the way we can be sometimes, the prayer, come Holy Spirit. Now, it's a very simple prayer. We all know it. But I think sometimes we look at a prayer like that and we say, well, no, it's got to be more than that. I've got to have at least 3 pages worth of words. Come Holy Spirit, 3 words, takes about 2 seconds to pray. Is that really going to produce any fruit? But yet when we look at the gospel from today's Mass, Jesus commanded the demon to get out of the man. He said, be quiet, come out of him. That's all he said. So those 3 words, they're powerful, aren't they? Come Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and you know, maybe that's sort of the introduction. You know, after you say, come Holy Spirit, you might say, what is it you're really on your mind? Holy Spirit, I need strength to resist this temptation. Holy Spirit, I need, I'm in this situation where I have a chance to witness to you. Come and help me. Give me the words to say that Jesus promised he would. So just maybe follow it up and or learn the traditional prayer to the Holy Spirit. Most people know, Catholics know the Hail Mary, the Our Father, but very few, there is a whole traditional prayer of the Holy Spirit that is also maybe something one could learn as a Catholic or as a Christian to fill out that prayer.
Now, one last thing before I let you go. The book is Your Life in the Holy Spirit, What Every Catholic Needs to Know and Experience. I highly recommend this book. I think it's very understandable, it's very informative, and I recommend that everybody get a copy of this book. That in fact, is the reason why I sought you out to be on the show, because I love the book so much. Dr. Shrek, where's the best place where we can purchase Your Life in the Holy Spirit?
Well, it's published by Word Among Us Press, so if someone just went to wau.org, they can get it there. I'm sure it's also... hopefully it might be in your local Catholic bookstore. If not, you could either go to Word Among Us Press, or probably it's in Amazon, like most books are nowadays.
Excellent. Your Life in the Holy Spirit, What Every Catholic Needs to Know and Experience. Dr. Alan Shrek, I want to thank you again for joining us. Next time, in 2 weeks when you're on with us, I want to really get into Pentecost and what that means. Does that sound good?
I look forward to that. I'd love to talk about Pentecost. Thanks.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great day.
God bless you. Thank you. You too.
All right. God bless you as well. Dr. Alan Shrek, Your Life in the Holy Spirit, What Every Catholic, that means you, needs to know and experience. I'll have a link to the book at spiritinthemorning.com. You've got to check it out. Understanding the Holy Spirit can make a complete difference in your life. All right. When we come back, Brian Mercier will be here to talk about belief in God, how to deal with atheists. There is no God. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Potential battles may lie ahead for the GOP in the wake of President Donald Trump's decision on whether to keep the program that protects hundreds of thousands of young illegal immigrants from deportation. Some Republicans want to maintain the DACA program, while others want it ended. Trump is expected to terminate the program, but with a 6-month delay that could give Congress time to act on it. Attorney General Jeff Sessions plans to address the issue at a morning briefing. Pope Francis heads to Colombia tomorrow for an apostolic visit that will last until next Monday, meant to celebrate an historic peace deal between the government and FARC rebels. The Holy Father sent a video message to Colombians yesterday reflecting on the theme of his visit, Take the First Step. In his message, he said, quote, "Peace is what Colombia has sought after for a long time, and she is working to achieve it, a stable and lasting peace so that we see and treat each other as brothers and not as enemies. Peace reminds us that we are all children of the same Father who loves and consoles us," end quote. And officials across the northeastern Caribbean have canceled flights, shuttered schools, and are urging people to hunker down as Hurricane Irma barrels toward the region as a powerful Category 4 storm. States of emergency were declared in Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and all of Florida, while people on various Caribbean islands boarded up homes and rushed to find last-minute supplies. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Most of us have a special place where we can go for peace, for quiet, for reflection when life gets overwhelming.
1 Minute Monk, Abbot Placid Solari of Belmont Abbey.
We need to go to that special place sometimes to recharge for the challenges. Monasteries are those places for the Church. Under the rule of St. Benedict, the monks seek God each day in work and prayer. They invite others into that space for longer or shorter times to seek God with them. The Church is sent to evangelize the world, and as a baptized child of God, you are sent too. Where is your special place, and do you take the time to go there?
For your free copy of the Rule of St. Benedict, visit oneminutemonk.com. oneminutemonk.com.
We are all sent to evangelize, but sometimes we need to go to that special place to reflect, pray, and recharge before taking the gospel out into the world.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. At 23 years old, Elaine Newkirk found herself a foster mother of 5 kids. Her 14-year-old sister, 2 friends, and 2 infants given up for adoption by their young mother. 2 years later, Elaine also became the head of Time Ministries in rural Pennsylvania. That stands for Teach Youth, Motivate, and Empower. And it's meant to inspire young people and help the less fortunate. Elaine has taken on a daunting load, but one of the most important lessons she's learned is that she doesn't need to carry it alone. She told Daily Good writer Audrey Lynn, "I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that even though I have a save the world mentality, I can't save the world on my own. It takes the help of a community." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
in the storm.
Whatever you do today, remember those words, you are not alone. That's Carrie Jobe. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. You know, sometimes we forget. We go out there in the world and we start to panic because we feel like we are alone. You are never alone. Lord's always with you. And as Dr. Schreck was just telling us, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You've got a very close friend, so make sure you turn to him today. Speaking of close friends, one of my close friends joins us now. Brian Mercier is a national Catholic speaker, a retreat leader. He's an author. He has spoken professionally for almost 20 years to both adults and teens. He has written a book called Why Do You Believe in God? Catholic Conversations with Skeptics and Non-Believers, and Brian's here with us to continue discussing that book. Hey, Brian, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary.
Good to be with you. I always get fired up when you're here, buddy.
Thank you. I'm super excited myself.
All right, Brian, before we really get into the book, and I want to continue our discussion from last time, a question popped into my head, and you know, as a Holy Spirit guy yourself, sometimes the Holy Spirit plants these questions in your head, and you think, or these thoughts in your heads, and eventually you learn to trust in the Holy Spirit's timing. So I want to ask you something. Why is it that atheists who claim they don't believe in God, and in your experience, you deal with a lot of people who claim to be atheists, they claim to not believe in God. Why are they so adamant about discussing God or talking about God or proving that he's not real if they don't believe in him?
That is a great question, one that many, many people have. And I think it depends on the atheist. But in my experience, I would say that a lot of atheists, I mean, you can never categorize them all. You can never put them all in the same box. But in general, I find that a lot of them don't really believe in God. They're angry at God. You know, they kind of have an anger at God because of something that happened in their life. Someone died in their life, a big tragedy happened, maybe they were abused as a kid, and they just can't understand how or why God would let that happen. And so for some of them, it's like cold turkey conversion, I don't believe in God anymore, he can't be there for me. And, you know, secretly, probably deep down in their heart, they probably do believe in God, but they're trying not to accept the premise because they can't understand it or why it would happen. Whereas other people, they kind of, you know, day by day they wrestle, God, why aren't you here? Why aren't you helping me? And instead of persevering and letting God work in their life through their tragedies, they just kind of start turning away from God. And I always say, you know, there's always going to be tragedy in life, and you can do it without God in the midst of a big ocean, or you can do it with God with a huge rock coming out of that ocean that you can hold on to for dear life.
And I think that's why this is so important. What you're saying is something that I agree with. I believe a lot of people who claim that God isn't real, they're just struggling, and they really want to know him better. I think it's important for us to keep doing these segments with you because there are many people out there who claim to be atheists or claim to not believe in God who are desperately searching, and rather than trying to win an argument with them, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to help them. We're trying to help them find the Lord, right?
Right, exactly. And when we're going to be doing chapter 5 of my book today, but when we get to chapter 12, I talked extensively with an atheist about proofs for God's existence, which he understood. But then 3/4 of the way through our long conversation, he says something like this: okay, Brian, your stuff makes sense, but here's my real problem with God. Boom. That's what you want to look for with atheists and people who don't believe in God, because there's always some deeper issue. And for him, it was the problem of suffering and pain, exactly what I figured, and he just couldn't understand how or why God would let that happen.
Yeah, and so with that in mind, let's continue our discussion of Chapter 5 of your book, Why Do You Believe in God? And I highly recommend this book, especially for those who are dealing, who want to help people to find the Lord and really just don't know what to say. Brian's really good at engaging them and listening to them, and he gives us some information. Brian, one of the common statements that we hear from people who don't believe in God is this. Well, if you say God exists, the burden of proof is on you. You're telling me God exists. I'm saying he doesn't exist. You have to prove it. What would you say to that person?
I would say that the burden of proof is on both people, because both sides are making claims. One says he does exist. One said he doesn't. Both sides should have the sufficient evidence to be able to back their statement up. It's really that simple.
Right. Now, it's kind of funny. You talk about the flying spaghetti monster, which I thought was kind of humorous. Talk a little bit about that theory of there's no proof that the flying spaghetti monster exists. What's going on with that?
Well, a lot of people will say, if you ask someone, do you believe in God? Yes. You know, why do you believe in God? I don't know. I just do. Do you have any proof that God exists? No. You just have to believe it. Well, first of all, that's what most atheists hear, because a lot of Catholics and Christians can't defend their faith. They've never studied this question, and so they give really cheesy answers like that. And so they started this parody religion called the Flying Spaghetti Monster, and they basically say that the Flying Spaghetti Monster is true. He's real, and he we have a whole holy book of him and everything. And we say, okay, well, show us the evidence for the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And they're like, oh, well, we don't have any. You just have to have faith. And so basically every lame answer that Christians give, they've made up a counter argument for the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And it's pretty entertaining being a parody religion, but obviously nobody really believes in a Flying Spaghetti Monster, whereas billions of people worldwide believe in a personal God, not to mention all the miracles that happen and all the proof that there really is for God, even if you don't know it yourself.
You mentioned miracles. Let's talk a little bit about miracles, as you do in the book. Somebody says, well, there's no such thing as a miracle. Everything that you call a miracle, Mr. Christian, can be explained through some form of scientific evidence. What do you say to somebody who says that? I don't believe in miracles, and I don't even believe that Jesus existed, and you're telling me Jesus performed miracles. Where do you go with something like that, Brian?
That's exactly the conversation that I had in Chapter 5 with this atheist. You know, he's like, heck, how do we even know that Jesus existed? We don't know that. We don't know anything. And I said, well, I mean, you could consult every single encyclopedia, history book, and historian basically throughout the whole world. They all believed in Jesus. But if you want source material, you have Josephus from that time, you have Tacitus from that time, you have Pliny the Younger, you have a lot of people who actually wrote and talked about Jesus, so he is real. And the atheist is like, okay, fine. But that's way different, and it's a far leap to say that miracles can happen. And I said, I will grant you that, people use the word miracle lightly. They'll say, oh, my arm was hurting, but now it feels better. It's a miracle. And we throw that word around, but a true miracle is something really big. It's the suspension of natural laws. So, for example, if someone's blind and someone prays over them in the name of Jesus and miraculously, suddenly they can see. And likewise, if someone's paralyzed and can't walk and they get prayed over in the name of Jesus and suddenly they can walk, I said, those are big things that can't be overlooked. Now, it's not the same proof as 2 + 2 = 4, but we can say that this is the best understanding of the occurrences. This is the best explanation of the facts. That I said, you don't see mass amounts of atheists being healed or, talking to people and all of a sudden they're just healed from incurable diseases. But yet, throughout the world, throughout history, you see people all over the place praying in the name of Jesus, and people are being miraculously healed. I said, I don't think that's an accident. That seems to be the best explanation of the facts. He said, well, I go by science. That's all nice and dandy, but I go by science. And if science can't prove it, then I don't believe it. It's really that simple. And I said, okay, then you might, Mr. Atheist, be super surprised to know that many miracles have happened and they've been scientifically verified. They've been scientifically proven. And I said, let me give you a couple, Mr. Atheist. I said, during World War II, the atomic bombs, which are 30,000 degrees plus Fahrenheit, they were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I said, it destroyed everything in the eye's distance. I mean, miles and miles and miles and miles away. Everything was just disintegrated in less than a second. In fact, right. People 100 miles away died from the radiation. And yet, there, a few blocks from the blast, there's still a house standing at each location that belongs to, I believe, Franciscan priests. And wow. There were 8 priests in the house right next to the blast. And not a shingle came off their roof. All they had was a little Amazing. Bit of cracked glass, but the whole house is still there, and they're completely fine. Now, I told wow. this atheist, I was like, there was a team of 200 scientists. They came and checked out these priests, and they didn't have any radiation in their bodies, and it was Incredible. They had no, absolutely no scientific explanation of how they could still be alive. I mean, it's impossible.
That's amazing, Brian. I hate to do this, but we've got about less than 30 seconds left. That's great stuff, Brian. The book is Why Do You Believe in God? Where is the best place to get the book and to maybe get in touch with you to bring you out to speak?
You can get it on Amazon, or you can get me at my website at CatholicBrian.org, B-R-Y-A-N.
And we're going to have that linked at SpiritInTheMorning.com. Brian, thanks again for being with us, brother.
Thank you, Gary.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 4:31, when a man with an unclean spirit approached Jesus in the synagogue, he rebuked the spirit, which then left the man. The people were amazed. What is there about his words? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. News about him spread everywhere in the surrounding region. We live in a culture that distrusts authority, while at the same time admires that which is authoritative. Actually, to speak with authority is to speak with fidelity to the author, that is, the one the speaker represents. In the case of our Lord, he was representing the Father, who is the author of all and from whom all lawful authority comes. Obedience comes from the Latin ab audire, to hear. It remains for us to obey lawful authority, because in doing so, we are allowing ourselves to hear the author, the Lord God Himself. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That song was There Is a Reason. That was Alison Krauss and Union Station. There is a reason. We might not always know the reason, but God has a reason. And that's where the trust comes in. The more you get to know Him, the more you depend, as we were talking about with Alan Schreck earlier in the program, on the Holy Spirit to guide you, the more you start to understand. And you might not even know what the future, none of us know what the future holds, but you might look at a hopeless situation and you get to the point, because you know the Lord on a personal level, you get to the point where you say, Lord, you know what? I don't get this. I don't know where we're going, but I know you're going to work this out somehow. Let's take a quick look, before we do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, at the weather right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, 66 degrees. Today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 4 p.m., high near 84. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms before midnight. Then some more showers likely, possibly another thunderstorm. And we will have gusty winds, possibly heavy rain, low around 64. Wednesday, occasional showers. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain with a high near 67 degrees. I want to thank you again for listening to Spirit in the Morning. I want to remind you, too, to check us out at spiritinthemorning.com. You can find out information about the guests that we have on the program. You can also download the podcast if you want to listen to the show again, or send it along to a friend. All right, let's take a look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse today. It comes from 1 Samuel 3:15. Samuel then slept until morning when he got up early and opened the doors of the temple of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. What's happening here is Samuel got a vision of something the Lord was telling him that he had to relay to Eli. It was not a pleasant message. Eli was doing something wrong, and he was the priest. Samuel had to go to him to give him the bad news. He was afraid to do it, but here's the reason that I included this verse in my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. What he did, he knew that the Lord was asking him to do this, and he did it anyway. So that's my challenge to you today, and I think it's something that many of us can struggle with. I'm afraid to do something. I know God wants me to do it. Am I going to do it anyway? That's where the Holy Spirit can help you to overcome that fear. I've not done many things in my life, and I'm not proud of this, that I should have done because I was afraid. Dave Parker, Frank Eliason, fear can sometimes stop us from doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to let that happen, right?
Right. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say?
But
it's really true.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's really true. I mean, how many times are we sitting around, people are saying something, and we know, well, you know what, I know I should say something, but I'm afraid I'm going to look weird, or they're going to think I'm strange. And obviously, in my case, it's too late to do anything about that. I can't help it. People think I'm strange. But that's okay, right? It's okay because guess what? People thought Jesus was strange too.
Well, yeah, but by now they may already think you're strange and it's a given. So why don't you just step out? Oh, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that was really creative, Parker.
No, I've been there too. Yeah, I mean, we all because we want to protect ourselves, our egos, and
yeah,
we've all been in that position. But to the point of the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit. Say, I mean, I think what's more important, my ego, or you know, like evangelizing, or telling someone, helping someone with a kind word. Or bringing them to Christ, you know?
That's right.
And
that's right.
I'll run the risk.
Frank, I know you have done that, you know, and I know that's not easy for you because you are well known in the business world, but there are times when you went out on a limb, and I give you credit for that, not caring what your associates would think because you knew it was the right thing to do.
I think we have to do it at times. So it's being true to who we are. And it's, you know, if done properly, it's a way of educating and bringing people to your view. And so that's also one of the best ways to evangelize our faith.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, Frank, you know, Frank takes the saw out with him when he's on that limb, and you know, like the old cartoons,
oh, yeah.
You know, and he's in the wrong place, but he runs the risk.
Yeah. Well,
and a lot of us have been there. And Gary, I know you have. I mean, you shouldn't put yourself down. You've done the right thing before. I know that.
And I have, but Dave, honestly, there have been times that I didn't do the right thing because I was afraid. You know, we're sitting
absolutely.
Around the lunch table at work when I was working as a computer programmer. People are talking about God. People are talking about, hey, can you believe that these pro-lifers want to restrict abortions? Mm-hmm. And I kept my mouth shut. I shouldn't have, but I did because I was afraid. Mm-hmm. I've learned from that, though. And I think, you know, you get to that point where you say, I'm going to face the Lord one day. I got to make sure that I'm doing what he wants me to do. And pleasing him and not pleasing those around me.
And I would suggest it happens all the time in all kinds of things. So I'm actually about to give a speech next week in Singapore. Mm-hmm. And the speech that I'm going to give is about the business world. And it's actually, I'm going to start off kind of admonishing the crowd intentionally. Because I want them to get on defensive, because we tend to get defensive with things. And my point to them is going to be, see, you just got defensive. This is what's happening in your business world. You're telling people, oh, you need to change. They're getting defensive. Mm-hmm. It's human nature. So, you know, we have to learn to understand other people's perspective and how to bring them to that viewpoint that we may have. And, you know, as you do that, you could be extraordinarily successful. But it's not easy, and it is sometimes against the grain.
That's right. But do it anyway. That's the point. Do it anyway. Before we run out of time, I want to thank you for listening and just say it's great to be back with you here on Holy Spirit Radio. Tomorrow on the show, Father Jeff Kirby will join us to continue his series on the Blessed Mother. And Dr. Kevin Vost will be here to talk about his brand new book. I think I've got the first interview with Dr. Vost on this book, The Catholic Guide to Loneliness.
And
so
real
make
quick,
sure you stay tuned.
Keep Irma in your prayers and everybody on that. That's now being upgraded to a Category 5.
Wow.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank, for mentioning that. Thanks for listening. Wherever you go today, whatever you do, remember, the Lord is with you. Make sure you say hi. This is Gary Zimek. Talk to you next time.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating